Monday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
We're joined in studio by Gavin Comiskey of the Irish Times. Owen Redden joins us on the line. Gavin, you were at the Champions Cup launch this afternoon where a bunch of rugby players sat around, tried not to say anything at all.
Fascinating.
That
stuff.
Was your summation.
Except for
me.
Connacht. They were very good. Connacht. John Muldoon was great crack.
He was on the show a few weeks ago. Great man.
Yeah, he's a deadly guy, yeah. Nigel Carlin, who is the assistant coach. Kieran Keane didn't show up, but Nigel Carlin actually more than compensated for the head coach not showing up at one of the major things they're supposed to do.
Did Kieran Keane get word that Graham Simmons was turning up for Sky?
No. For whatever reason, he wasn't there. I presume he was coaching away. But Nigel Carlin spoke about it. They took the piss out of him big time over that, and they showed it to him, and then they showed him the Brendan Venter interview after the Saracens game from a few years ago, and he said he was mortified and he got it.
Keane was mortified. Wow.
Yeah, he found it a bit embarrassing afterwards, okay. And all that. But see, what happened was he wasn't, unlike Venter, who was completely on purpose doing it, and yeah. It was a thing. He wears his heart in his sleeve, is the impression they're giving. And also, he's going to be 64 in February. The man's not going to change. He's going to be the way he is. Gruff Kiwi, who's now up in it's a different kind of a media landscape. Yeah. And
Keane's was a more genuinely felt frustration, whereas Venter's you felt was pre-planned.
It was 100% pre-planned, yeah. As you can see. It. Yeah, but he just didn't want to dance that Sky Sports jig.
Yeah. You know? Okay, so nothing major to report from the Champions Cup launch today?
No, my notes are grim. I was like 9 people sitting on a stage, captains, none of them. How on earth is any of them going to say anything interesting? The whole goal is to make sure you don't reveal anything at this moment in time, you know.
Yeah.
And then actually now, in fairness, when they sat down and it was all divvied up, like the print guys got a lot of value out of Rassi. Rory Best was very good. So like it wasn't a complete lost cause. Everyone can fill their boots with stuff that they can work on over the next 2 weeks.
So Rassi Erasmus presumably is asked about the current instability, and he must be asked about the fact that Johan van Graan is the Springboks forward coach, and it seems like there is an appeal there for Munster that this guy could be a potential replacement. And Erasmus over the weekend is talking about, well, effectively how he would like to work with van Graan when he goes back to the Springbok setup. So there's a fairly clear conflict of interest there. What does Erasmus say about all that today?
See, what I find interesting is Rassi has said that he's not involved in the process of recruiting the next coach, yet he's there until the process is over. So that's a contradiction in itself. And also the two people, one who he thought was Wessels, who Rassi presumed was hired until he took the Queensland job, they're both South Africans. They're both coming, and they're 100% have to be coming on the recommendation of Erasmus, you know. These are guys who've worked under him, you know, and one that he intends on working on. So yeah, there's a problem there. But Erasmus's whole thing he keeps coming back to is, I'm not leaving, I'm going to leave this in a better shape than I found it. I'm going to leave this with when they have themselves in good shape. But the two coaches that the only time it's come out, and I think these reports are accurate, first one and then the second one, are coaches that are like it mightn't work out potentially because of Erasmus, again is, there's potential for a mess here. But Erasmus's key message today was, I'm going to leave Munster in good shape, don't worry, I'm not involved in the process, but it's going to be okay.
And one last point in this, it had seemed, or certainly it was, I had read earlier in the season that Erasmus was effectively given the impression that he wouldn't leave before December, but he would leave if somebody was appointed.
Yes.
He'd go then.
Yes.
So that now seems to have changed into, I won't leave until somebody's appointed. We could be leaking into January, February, March here.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, he's not under strict timelines, because South African season, the Springbok season is on now. And I think he's leaving. But I think he thought the whole thing was wrapped up. That was the impression he gave over the weekend. And then obviously that's not the case now. What he said was, and this is vague because he's not being clear on this.
Yeah.
The way he said it was, I'm not going to leave until everything is okay. You know. But I presume he's leaving in January, you know. There is no major pressure from South Africa because they're embroiled in their, it's potentially leading into one of their worst seasons ever. So their focus is on that. It's on short term and dealing with that. And his whole thing is to come in and solve what's essentially a 2-year cycle before the World Cup. It's him coming and try and fix that.
Owen Redden, as you heard there, is listening in slightly impatiently. Hello, Owen.
Sorry, yeah, they give that away, yeah.
So I wanted to establish all that with Gav. I've heard a few of the players say, look, there's no difference in our preparation. If you were at a meeting last year versus a team meeting this year, there's no difference. There's no effect. This is having no effect on us. Munster beat Cardiff at the weekend, 39 points to 16. Players can't be immune from the instability, I presume. It's just to what extent it might affect performances or preparation.
Yeah, I kind of would disagree with Gavin in his assessment of Razzie and what he's telling the media. I suppose I would hold him in high regard in terms of how he's conducted himself throughout the whole issue. Yes, from a journalist's point of view, it's frustrating that you don't get all the information you want at each time. But unfortunately, like, that's of very little relevance to the families and the players in Munster, the supporters in Munster, who might think, you know, they want to know everything about Razzie right now. But at the end of the day, it's not going to help their team. And I think he's been honest and open with his players. As far as I can see, right throughout, the feedback I get from the players is quite positive. Mm-hmm. He's still in the country, even though, you know, looks like he's going to stay past when he has to. And I wouldn't talk away the pressure from South Africa at all. At the end of the day, you know, that's his home country, and that draw is huge. And I don't think you can just kind of wave it away and say there's no pressure from South Africa. I think they'd love to have him. He's a high quality coach, and, you know, they've had some tough fixtures recently. And, you know yourself about international rugby in terms of planning. You know, every day that you're not planning, you're another day behind another team. So I would think that there is pressure on him to go home. I think that he's really is doing right by Munster in terms of staying around and trying to ensure continuity in a tough situation. Don't get me wrong. It's not ideal from anyone's point of view. But I think given his decision, given how it's panned out, given what the RFU asked him to do, that he's, you know, been very good to everyone involved. And I think, you know, the RFU have a history in recent seasons of recruiting very well. I think you got to let him get on with the process, and at the same time, you know, journalists are fair enough to push him and prod him, but I think watching from the outside, I kind of respect the way he's dealing with it all. And, you know, he's not coming out and just putting his own reputation with the journalists, for example, ahead of the team or ahead of, you know, anything else that's going on. He knows he's taking flack. He knows that he's probably putting himself in a bad position, but he's doing it anyway. So I think you have to take him at his word. I don't think he'd get involved in telling someone not to come to Munster. I think that would be extremely far-fetched. You know, I think he's very proud of what he's done there, and he's very proud of the guys and gets on very well with them and still has a very good relationship with them, even given what happened up to now.
It's not even about journalists not getting or what we want or the information we want. Like, it's about the fact that we're trying to convey a clear message to the public. And you're dead right. All my dealings with Razzie, you come in with loads of questions, and sometimes you do leave with more questions than you go in with. But you do know you're dealing with a man of extremely high integrity and all that. But at the same time, we're reporting, like after the Saracens game in April, we reported, are you staying 100% definitely? And he said, yes. And went, Razzie, okay, we're going to ask this again just to be sure. Are you definitely staying? And he goes, yes, of course I am. We've all this progress to do at Munster. So we report that. Now, things did clearly change over the next few months, and South African and Rugby Union upped their ante to get him to really change things, and effectively created a new position for him to come back. So it changed. But then we are still trying to report a message. And for the fact that there is a thing of trying to be clear all the time, that we came back at him today. And over the weekend, he did say, Johan van Graan, that he'd like to have him as the forwards coach of South Africa. And this is the guy who was like, been nailed on, and like the sources are really solid for the next Munster coach. So there is an issue there that has to be reported, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree that, you know, he would, but I just think being that open and even saying that I would like to work with this man, for example, is not the talk of someone who'd be in the background telling him not to come. You know what I mean? I think.
But if you're Van Graan and you're weighing up the opportunity maybe to go to Munster, and you see publicly that Erasmus is saying, I'd like to work with you as part of the Springbok setup, then that is an intervention one way or another.
It is, but it could also, like, it also takes away any power Razzie has in terms of turning him off Munster, which was maybe an angle we had a few minutes ago where he might actually say, don't come to Munster. Whereas now, at least all the cards are on the table. And if he was to say something like that, it would be clearly because he'd have to take it with the fact that, you know, this guy actually wants me back home and I can't, you know. So I think Razzie's just been completely honest that, yes, I'd love to have him. And if I would 100% believe if he says he's not involved in the process, that he isn't. Okay. You know, I would believe that he would help pick somebody. But I would think to think in any way that he would try and you know, and I think, you know, you'd have a history of things like this. Like if he was going to lose this guy to Munster, I think he'd back himself. He's a confident man to be able to deal with that loss in South Africa and be happy that Munster had got someone very, very good to replace him. And I think that's a far more likely outcome than thinking that he'd somehow try and manufacture a situation and report it to the media before he did it, so that he could stop Munster from signing the guy he wants to sign. You know, yeah, you could argue both ways, but I think knowing him, that it's far more likely that he's just being open and honest about his desire. And in some ways, you know, if Munster got him, wouldn't it even be a better thing for him to have said that? You know what I mean? Some people might be afraid to say that in case he did go to Munster, you know what I mean? And then you're after giving the new guy a big up and a big head start, and they'd be worried about their own, like how they were perceived when they were there versus the new guy and all that kind of stuff. So I think, I honestly think he's just been open and honest, you know, and I think to me, he's done all he can to protect the team as much as possible, which, you know, having been in that dressing room is like, there's no kind of downtime on a Monday, you know, or today, like for example, with Gav there over there, you know, I'd be wondering, why is my captain not here at training? You know, like there's no real let up. The pressure is intense at the moment for these players. Leading into the weeks coming up is just, there's just no let up, you know, and I think I think he's done well given all that.
Can you give us the player's perspective on this point in the season? Because we're probably at the week now with Leinster Munster coming, followed by European action, where the casual rugby fan is getting back into the season. Like it certainly feels like it's ramping up. And we saw some unusual results this weekend, like we saw Ulster beaten by Zebre 27 points to 23. You've got the likes of O'Mahony and Murray and CJ Stander coming back from Munster against Cardiff. You've got the five lines back for Leinster, who were ropey and rusty against Edinburgh. They beat them 21-13. So what's it like as a player in these Lions years in particular, as you're trying to somehow get back into the rhythm of week-to-week action? And, you know, up until this point, up until the kind of first Interpro pre-European fixture?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a great bounce from the Lions usually because, you know, they're all very confident. They've proven themselves to be, you know, the best in the home nations, and they made a team, and, you know, they had a very good series in against the All Blacks. And I think harnessing that bounce and fitting them into a team, like I was at the game on Friday night, the Leinster game, you know, and so many guys fronted up physically, individually, and fronted up physically, individually, and fronted up with a performance or a big moment in the game. And then at the same time, you're trying to marry all that into a team performance when not only have they been off for the summer, but they've been doing slightly different things. It's been drilled into them all the time. And then, you know, the coaches are in South Africa, half of them are coming back. They're trying to manage a whole new situation. And you end up with kind of this, you know, you can clearly see how up for it and energetic everybody was, but you kind of end up with this feeling like, oh God, how has this game turned out the way it has? And, you know, as a player, you just go into that and you just, the frustration levels are absolutely, like, you know, you probably wouldn't sleep all weekend, you know, given what went on. And it's funny for me watching them now thinking, God, if I was in the dressing room now and I had the perspective, I'd be saying, you know, don't worry, you know, try and bring a bit of crack to training today or turn our minds off for a minute, because they were fractions away from, you know, absolutely producing a brilliant performance, and it didn't work out. And that often happens, you know, and we often as well, you know, watching, have like very, very little respect for the teams that come to, you know, Ireland to play Ulster, Connacht, or down in Thomond Park. Like we don't think Edinburgh are as good as they are, but, you know, they have Richard Cockerell there, and their lineout maul was like really, really good, and they must have stopped Leinster six or seven times from scoring lineout maul tries. So I think as a player, it's a tricky time of the season because you're trying to marry in guys who are coming back who are up for it and ready to go, which is great. They've been doing something different. You've got to pull them together really quickly. And there's a big pressure there because this game is huge this weekend. So you kind of have to get through last weekend and then, you know, hopefully deliver a big game this week. But the key to that is not freaking out over Friday, you know, and managing to kind of take what positives you can out of that. And, you know, and they're playing Leinster in particular, playing, you know, an Edinburgh team who were very, very frustrated with their previous two results. And, yeah. You know, we're going to come out strong all the time.
So what I'm hearing is this perspective that you had sitting in the crowd on Edinburgh's 16 line breaks to Leinster's 4 and Leinster's line out going wrong 5 times. This perspective as you sit in the crowd, as a player, you didn't have that and you would have been freaking out and grumpy as hell today.
Absolutely. You know, I was thanking my lucky stars that I didn't have to lose 2 nights sleep over what was going on. And, you know, and pretend, you know, when you worry as a player, you know, where are we going and what, you're always worried about what direction we're going in, because, you know, if it's October and you're not going in the right direction, you know, it's a long way to May going in the wrong direction, and you can end up very, very far from where you want to be. So every day needs to be, you know, you're kind of, it's not so much about where you're at every day. It's more like, are you getting better or are you getting worse? Because you won't win a European Cup playing in May the way you did in September. Like, whatever way you start, you've got to finish better. You've got to meet teams and surprise them and be better than you were the week before. And, you know, Leinster and Munster both need to somehow surprise each other this week, or shock each other with a bit of physicality on Saturday that the other team didn't see when they watched the videos, or a new play. You've got to improve all the time. So from that point of view, Friday wouldn't have felt like that for Leinster. And they'd all, and coaches included, be, you know, getting, you know, quite pent up about that. But I looking at it, I honestly was thinking, you know, at the same time, with all the stats you called out there, they never looked like losing, you know, and there's got to be a value in that somewhere. Yeah. And it's much harder to argue, because there's no tangible fact or way to actually explain that. But, you know, that's what I felt watching it. I was never in doubt that they'd lose. But at the same time, I knew they'd be incredibly frustrated.
Yes.
There seems like one crucial thing that needs to happen is Leinster have one problem, and that's in midfield at the moment, just simply because of injuries. Easton Asiwa, we don't know how long that's gone for. Looked like Noel Reid took a HIA. Gary Ringrose is not back for a while. Robbie Henshaw is supposedly done full training. If he gets through this week, Leo Cullen said today he'll play. They need to get him on the pitch. His first game that he played was this game last year, and he hit the ground running. They can't, and they have to have a full Metal Jacket international team in place from Montpellier come, because they are just from a different planet, the rugby they're playing at the moment. It's kind of funny, the Leinster-Munster game, just from Razzie and just from the sound bites today anyway, it's still Leinster-Munster, and it's going to matter like you wouldn't believe, I'm sure, but it is still, its value right now is to make sure you don't get tanked when you get into the first round of Europe, because Munster to go to Castro, which is as dangerous a place, it's going to be dangerous, but Montpellier coming to Dublin is the real thing. Like, and for like Robbie Henshaw has to be on the pitch this weekend. That's a big one for Leinster.
Okay, and so like some of the other results, like I mentioned, Zebre beating Ulster 27-23. Like, is that part of this early season strangeness and things not quite clicking, or are we
terrible?
And are we seeing a legitimately stronger Italian showing?
No, yes, there is. Treviso have got some good results. There is a thing that's happening. There's a small visuals of it. It's still a long way off, but Conor O'Shea knew. He brought in Steve Aboud to come in and work with the systems in Italian rugby. He went down to the underage. He's trying to link up that. He's trying to leave a long-term legacy there. He's in hands-on coaching with both teams. They're mixing all the coaching, are pooling their resources. O'Shea and Aboud are going to both Treviso and Zebre.
Oh, so he's getting his hands dirty on the training pitch.
Oh, God. Conor O'Shea?
Yeah,
he's involved in both clubs.
Right.
Steve Aboud's key. Like, he set up the academy system in Ireland. I'm sure Owen would come across him at some stage in his career. And like the IRFU, when the things were changed over into the new Sephora era, just effectively lost them. I don't know what the details were over there, but like, this is a valuable guy who a lot of players kind of came through his ranks, and he's setting up. Conor O'Shea was very astute to bring him with him when he came in. There's small signs of improvement. It's still a long, long way to go, and we need a bit more evidence than catching a terrible Ulster on the hop, I think. It was an intercept try and a couple of things, you know. But
yeah, you were going to come in there on that game, Owen?
Yeah, I would think, given the way Ulster have started, you'd give them the benefit of the doubt that it was, you know,
one of those days,
a slip up. And at the same time, as Gav mentioned there's plenty of times with Zebre that we've all been down there and nicked a win at the end, you know. And it's in this case, poor old Ulster looked like they were going to nick the win and threw an intercept and you know, and still managed to get back and score another try. So, you know, maybe you just give them the benefit of the doubt. I think they've started so strongly and produced a few new players that look the real deal. And I think that's probably a great example of Ulster, you know, being more competitive, would be when you can actually say, well, look, there's a few guys here who we hadn't seen play at this level yet, who might help them during the year, you know. But I think, again, you know, John O'Gibbs as well has he knows how to win tournaments, which, you know, is very, very it's hard to like, you hear the old saying, you learn a lot from your defeats, you know. But you need to win too, you know. Otherwise, you just never know if you've got the right recipe. And I think Jono's well aware of the kind of things that would have been important for winning, with that Joe would have had with Leinster, or, you know, teams that win things have certain elements of their game right. And I think Jono would know, for example, how important first phase is. He'd never get away from that. He'd know how important the breakdown is. He'd never get away from that. And I think, you know, regardless of how Ulster results they get this year, to have someone there like that with Les, who both of them focusing on those kind of things, I think will just make sure that even when they have a big result, you know, they'll be able to drill down into, was this really much better at our breakdown, or was our set piece much better? And it might be something they'd have lacked in the past, where the results would have taken precedence over were they actually getting better month on month, like I said earlier. And I think with the setup they have now, and maybe the experience of the players as well, we've mentioned that before, but I think all in all, they will hopefully be a different kettle of fish this year.
They certainly don't have any excuses on, do they? Like, because Jono Gibbs, like, I imagine your opinion of him is obviously quite high from Leinster, but what he's evolved into from what we've seen from his Claremont teams in the last few years, there's not really more places to go for Ulster not to have some level of success this season, is there?
Yeah, he's top drawer, you know what I mean? I think, and they had someone top drawer with Les already, so, and they're both good guys. They have respected the dressing room as well. And I think you're right. I think the players would respect them, and they're the kind of guys who could drop big players and still hold the respect of the dressing room. And, you know, you're going to have coaching power there, which is very, very important to winning tournaments these days. You know, you need the coaches to be in charge and have the full support of the whole dressing room when, you know, they want to drop the guy who's played for Ireland 25 times and he's played in all the games up to now, but for some reason the semi-final against Claremont, he's not the right guy. And you need to be able to do that, pick the guy in form and have everyone buy into that. And I think they've got that kind of a setup now, which is very important.
One last point before we let you go on. So JJ Hanrahan back and made an instant impact and scored and just looked, you know, really excited to be back in a red jersey. What do you you're somebody obviously who's come back home after a time in England, slightly different experience to Hanrahan, obviously, but still, you kind of know what it's like to come back home. What are you expecting from Hanrahan this season, and then Munster at large, based on what you've seen thus far?
Yeah, I think you come back and you're surprised how hard the Pro 14 is, because everyone's been telling you how crap it is in the Premiership. Which
is there no respect in the Premiership for the top 14, 12, Pro 12?
Well,
Pro
you're probably
14.
Reading the Irish. You're probably reading your own media at home saying it. To be totally honest with you, yeah. But, you know, it is like the amount of international players you're playing against. It supports more international teams. You know, I disagree completely, by the way, what Gav said about Munster Leinster this weekend. As a player, it was probably the worst fixture to have before a Heineken Cup game, because you never thought about the Heineken Cup game once. And I would think it'll be the same for them this weekend. I think
the coaches were given the message they're going. It's an idea, and Peter O'Mahony said it as well. I didn't believe him, to be honest, but it's an ideal preparation for what's coming next. That was the drum they were beating today. You know,
if I read that, I'd be thinking, if those guys think I'm going to believe a word of that, they have another thing coming.
No, I didn't believe them.
But I think, you know, I think for JJ, it's a great move. You know what I mean? I think, you know, he'll have learned a lot playing another competition. And I think he'll bring something home, you know. He'll bring something different home. He's played in a number of positions, and, you know, I don't know whether he's going to go after a certain position or not in Munster, but I think having him and trying to keep him out of that team is going to be difficult for other players. I think Munster have got some huge games coming up now. I agree with Gav, it's going to be very tough for them. I think, you know, the Razzie story is being managed as well as it possibly can, but it's not ideal for anyone, you know. And I think while I was positive about Razzie earlier, I do accept that. I think it is hard for players. You do have good leaders there like Peter and Connor and CJ who will hopefully be able to steady a ship and keep it going throughout the year. And I suppose, you know, they know it's a challenge as well. Sometimes you get a change of coach at the end of May and you think all your problems are solved and a new guy's going to come in and he's going to change everything, and you get this kind of false dawn feeling, whereas I don't think they're going to get that. You're going to get a group of players who know that the coach coming in is going to be up against it. They're going to support him. They're going to be aware of the challenges facing him. I think that'll really help with the buy-in. And I think, you know, you've a very mature squad there, given what they faced last year and how they kind of dealt with all those emotions throughout the year. I think they're probably more mature than most rugby teams. And I think you'd give them the benefit of the doubt that they will support the coach that comes in. And, you know, that's the message that the coach that comes in needs to be sold as well, because it's a daunting task coming into you know, a European Cup, which is very tough, and a league that people on the outside don't really respect as much as they should, which means it's harder for you to gain the recognition you deserve by doing well in it. So it is a hard sell. And I think the message that the players have been through a lot and will support you, and, you know, you have a great group of lads, is really important. And I think if they manage that well, and hopefully the RFU keep up their, you know, their record at the moment of getting good guys then maybe they'll get through it, but it's not going to be easy.
Yeah. Owen, we're out of time, but let's do that. Do this again. And in particular, let's find a quiet evening to talk about the lack of respect for the Pro 12, Pro 14, because I think I'm one of the majority who probably doesn't really give it the respect it deserves. We can talk about that some evening. Thanks a million.
Okay, cheers.
Cheers, Owen Redden there. Gavin Cummiskey, The Irish Times, thank you. We'll take a short break. We're talking to Graeme Hunter soon.
Off the Ball on News Talk. In association with AIR. Watch Formula One Grand Prix action this month live on AIR Sport.